So good to be here with you. Paul said that this isn't the word, but it's an important word. This is from Philippians 1. In this letter, he said, "For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Wow. Can you imagine? And Paul was speaking about every person in the church in Philippi. I don't know how many that was. It was more than one. And he said, for all of them, he carried the affection of Christ. What an amazing standard of normal, huh? And so I'm so glad that you're here. I've been looking forward to this, to seeing all of you with the affection. Never been a more important group for me. In my morning prayer, there are scriptures that I pray and some of the Psalms and a gospel lesson and oh, and by the way, we're in red today instead of green because it's the feast of Cornelius. You know, the Cornelius of Acts 10 and Cyprian. Cyprian was one of my favorite stories of Cyprian was the guy who, early church father, who was like a warlock and was a very dark and evil person. And he met a young teenager in the alleyway with his intentions to rape her. And when he approached her, she just fell down to the cross. He fell down, got delivered from every demonic spirit under the power of the Holy Spirit, and became one of the great leaders in church history. Wow, isn't that something? This is the scriptures this morning, but it just was so awesome. Here, I don't know if you know this, maybe you've never experienced this, but anxiety is not a very good friend. But anxiety is a very clinging friend. Because if there's something you're anxious about, you find yourself obsessing about that thing, because anxiety gives birth to obsession. Because what we do with anxiety is we're always trying to work out the thing in our mind, but it causes our emotions to crash. And the more we the worse it gets. You know, all those conversations that you have in your head and all the stuff that you do. And so what I'm saying to you isn't a lesson I haven't learned before, but I discover that breakthrough often isn't breakthrough into something new, but breakthrough into something old you've had breakthrough in before, but it's a bigger breakthrough. Jesus said he set our feet in a large place. And so we find ourselves occupying space in that area of freedom. You know, we've mentioned this before, that encounters do not create breakthrough. Encounters create an opportunity for breakthrough. Repentance brings a breakthrough. When we have encounter, it's so that God can bring us into a new place of surrender. And when you do, and it may be an area we've had breakthrough 100 times in that area, but every time you do, it just, again, you occupy a larger space. And so I find myself having breakthroughs in areas where I've had breakthroughs before because I have different responsibilities. And so I find myself being tempted in places I was never tempted before. And so stewarding a lot of different personalities and situations, I found myself trying to sort out wisdom. See, part of who I am, what peacemaker, it's really easy to drift into becoming a peacekeeper. And a peacekeeper is not a good thing to be. Because if you're a peacekeeper, you live in the context of anxiety all the time. Now, I know that about me in terms of my weakness. It's your weakness, because what you know about your weakness is evidence of how much you understand about his adequacy. Because in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so coming to grips with being honest about weakness is a bad thing. Living there, thinking that transparency is victory, is not the good thing. Being honest about the fact that in your weakness and strength is made perfect, that's the breakthrough. And so just stewarding some things, I found myself over a period of time trying to get wisdom, trying to anticipate the next, like the enemy will throw balls at you, so trying to anticipate the next toss and what direction it's going to come from. And particularly in stewarding different personalities as a and then what happened is it turned you into a peacekeeper, which is not good. And this is the scriptures the Lord spoke to me. And these are scriptures that have been a part of my life for a long time. I've taught them many, many times. Scriptures many, many times. And I was blown away today that after all these decades, just the revelation and breakthrough was something that seemed so familiar. But you know, when God speaks something, it always is new and fresh, right? So you know that I'm drifting, but we'll get to the point. You know that the Hebrew word for Yahweh really can't be pronounced. It has two vowels in there, so you can say Yahweh, but it's just these like Y's and W's and H's, and it can't be pronounced. The way you pronounce Yahweh is when you take a breath, like, that's Yahweh. Or when you sigh, that's how you pronounce the real name. Because there's no vowels in it. You can't use your tongue or your lips to pronounce the name Yahweh. I'm going to have a new grandson, Hank. And they're going to spank his bottom, and he's going to go, and say God's name for the first time. Take a breath, you're saying his name. He's the God who's with us. That's Jesus' name, Emmanuel. And so I found myself a lot in trying to contemplate wisdom, sort out wisdom, asking for wisdom, sighing a lot. He wasn't heard is unbelief, though that was there. He wasn't upset with me or angry with me. What he was hearing was me saying his name. And I finally reached the place weak enough this morning that I landed here. God did it all. So he could say these words to me again. Verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble. Man, I'm meeting these requirements at a high level. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Wow. To shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are, that no man would boast before God. By his doing, the Father's, this is the work of grace, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. You've been placed into his life. You've been woven into the fabric of his existence. You're in Christ Jesus, who, now listen to this, who became to us wisdom from God. Wisdom's not a what. Wisdom's not a thing. Wisdom is a who that we get to participate in. Wisdom from God. Who became to us? Wisdom from God. Who became to us? Righteousness. Righteousness is not a what. Righteousness is a person. Wisdom is a person, Jesus. And you've been placed into his life. Who's become to us? Holiness and redemption. So all that was to say this. I was sitting there and I read these scriptures again and I'm having an encounter and repenting. And nothing feels better than repentance. You can feel the relief as you're beginning to repent. You're crossing over. You're breaking into a place that's full of freedom. I go, oh man, this is awesome. Then you're like, going, why didn't I do this earlier? But I wasn't ready earlier, evidently. And in this place, the Lord said to me, he said, Chuck, you keep wanting wisdom to deal with this particular situation or this particular personality. I already have that wisdom. I am your wisdom. And I just need you to trust me because you get to participate in my wisdom. Does that make sense? Righteousness is about wholeness and innocence. Sanctification is about holiness, like being free from sin. And so the Lord's like saying, and Chuck, I'm going to be in this situation. There's nothing to care about because I'm your wholeness. And I'll be your innocence, your childlikeness here. I'll keep you from sin. I'm your holiness. And then he said, and I'm your redemption. What does that mean? Now think about that. Jesus is your things in life you're ever going to face. Many of you are facing situations where you need wisdom. Well, you have him. He is your wisdom. He's already got wisdom for it. Just rest in him. He's your wholeness. You ever felt insecure and all that stuff? He doesn't. He's your wholeness. Holiness, and he's your redemption. You say, yeah, but I got all this stuff going on inside of me and that are just sort of not quite right. Well, he does what he does. He redeems it all. He doesn't just redeem her. He's your redemption. Example being, Lord, I have this weakness towards being a peacekeeper because I want people to think I'm wonderful. And he redeems it, like this morning, when that, and he said, it's not about these people in this thing, situation, to think you're wonderful. I want you to use you to let them know how wonderful I think they are. That's redemption. He takes a place that's a mess, and you see, that's not a counseling situation. That's a person. He's the wonderful counselor, right? He's the great physician. And I'm saying to you, as I mentioned, like Paul, like David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous suffer hunger. I'm telling you, I've been young and now I'm old and it just gets better. Because every fresh revelation of him brings more freedom. You know? Love you so much. So those of you who have been worrying about something and you don't know what to do, good news is he already does. And he'll let you in on it so you can participate in it when it's time. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.